Hi guys, and welcome back to Topic Tuesday episode 9. If you were able to watch any of the previous episodes, then thank you so much. Any support is much appreciated. I'm so excited for today's episode. We're actually filming a little bit different. We're filming in the evening today, which feels like, I don't know, I feel like I should be like in bed a little bit. Like it's like past my bedtime. But I'm so excited to have Matisse with me on the couch today. I've actually known you for a really long time.
Yeah, a really long time.
Yeah, and it's so nice to have you here, and I'm so excited for today's discussion. It's going to be all around predominantly IVF and trying to conceive, which is a subject I feel like as women we really need to talk about and normalize more, because I feel like a lot of women go through it and almost feel like they're alone. And when I put this topic Tuesday on my Instagram, which is where everyone writes in, it was really like humbling to see how many people are in the same situation, and we just need to talk about it more. So first of all, babes, do you just want to introduce yourself as to kind of who you are?
Yeah, so I'm Matisse Campbell. A lot of you probably know me from Survivor of the Fittest. That's where I probably like gained a bit of recognition. But yeah, I did that, oh my God, so many years ago now.
I remember watching you on that.
It was so many years
ago. How long ago was it?
It's probably got to be about 6 years ago now.
At least. Is it only six?
Maybe more.
Oh, I loved it.
It was very PG.
I think I loved it because I knew you. So like, I could like...
Connect it. Relate,
do you know what I mean? Yeah. I loved it.
I feel like I was such like an emotional wreck on there. When I look back, I actually cried so much, but it's fine.
It was probably quite like a overwhelming experience. I don't know. You could
maybe... Yeah, definitely. I don't think that I... like knew how difficult that it would actually be to go on there, not have any phone, not be able to just call my best friend up and be like, right, this situation's happened, mm-hmm. how do I deal with it, mm-hmm. how do I speak to this person. I found that really, really difficult, and just being in like a little bubble, you know, like when you're at school and everything's so intense, and you go home and you're like, oh my God, I'm gonna be hated for the rest of my life, mm-hmm. and that's exactly how Survival of the Fittest felt, but 20 times like more intense. So yeah, it was definitely intense. I'm glad I did TV, but I definitely would never do it again.
Never do it again.
No.
And before Survival of the Fittest, we were just saying off the podcast, because I was like, you were doing something else. And obviously just me having the brain of like a, I don't even know, basically not the best memory. I was like, what was it? So you did a lot of music videos.
Yeah, a lot of music videos. And like bits and pieces of modelling before that.
Yeah.
But nothing like, obviously Survival of the Fittest was the first kind of big thing, mm-hmm. essentially that I did. Mm-hmm.
I wonder why it stopped.
I feel like, I think because the producers were the same ones as Love Island.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the exact same producers. They wanted Survival of the Fittest to kind of have the same viewings as what Love Island mm-hmm. did. But I think the final of Survival of the Fittest only ended up getting like 1 million views.
Okay.
So it didn't, and it did Love Island's getting like 4 or 5 million views on the final.
Okay.
So I think that they stopped it because I can imagine that it probably cost.
Yeah, well, I've got no clue what goes into it. Yeah.
For like all the trials and everything.
I thought it was good, and I remember one episode, and I don't know why I remember it so well, but it was the challenge you were doing and the girls went away. And if you didn't get through the challenge
I would
a certain
have to go
time,
home.
You go home.
Yeah. Oh
and you get made through the challenge and you, like, do you remember the shot? You were, like, running slow motion, like, back to the camp or anything. Yeah. And then the person who you were with at the time, like, it was so emotional.
It
I remember
so
watching
emotional.
It, like.
That was at the time that I realised, oh, my God, everyone, like, they actually love me. Like, they're so happy that I'm back.
Yeah.
Like, this is my little family.
And are you in touch with any of them?
We still, like, have each other on social media, but I feel like when you come into the outside world, it's so much more difficult to keep up that, you know, like, life just goes.
I remember, was it Marie?
Maz, yeah.
I see her quite a lot on social
media. Oh, my God, she's done incredible.
She's gone on, yeah, that's amazing.
Done,
I love that for her.
Like, she's done absolutely incredible. I think prior to Survival of the Fittest, she was very into YouTube and everything anyway. Mm. So I feel like that just...
elevated.
Was able to elevate all of that for her. And she's so good at it.
Yeah.
So naturally good at it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really important.
Yeah. And then, so after after the Survival of the Fittest, you then went on to do a lot of kind of social media stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
When remember YouTube was popping.
Yeah, it was at one point, it was. When I actually think back to the videos that I was doing, oh my God, I can't. I'm so glad they're all deleted off YouTube
Did
now.
You delete them?
They got deleted. Like, okay. Some of the videos on there were so, we just did stupid challenges and...
Yeah, but at the time, people loved it.
Like,
I remember watching them.
I loved it. And, like, me and the guy who I was with at the time, like, we were doing really well as a couple, but unfortunately, in terms of just, yeah.
Life-lifed.
Yeah.
And things, people go their separate ways,
yeah,
don't they?
And we were in a little bubble from Survival of the Fittest, and then coming off, it was still that little bubble because people loved us together, and I kind of feel like we stayed together longer than probably what we should have, really.
Okay,
More so for...
Like picture perfect, right? Yeah. Okay, so now fast forward 6 years.
Yeah.
Where are we today? So
today we're 7 months pregnant.
Yay!
Finally, I can't believe it. I'm so happy. 7 months pregnant and loving life.
And work-wise, you have your own... You want to talk about it?
Yeah, don't mind, yeah.
So you have your own beauty studio?
Yeah, so...
Is that what I would call it?
Yeah, work-wise. I kind of came out of influencing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Especially during the period of trying to conceive, the two just didn't go hand in hand. I mentally was just not in the right headspace to try and do that. So for a good few years, I didn't. But in that time, I opened the salon, bought a few properties, went into things that were a little bit more me kind of in the background.
Yeah.
Not really having to put my face out there too much.
Of course.
Yeah.
I think that leads us like beautifully on to the topic of today, because Matisse just alluded to it. So you, can I say his name, Lewis?
Mm-hmm.
So Matisse and her boyfriend, Lewis, you guys were trying to conceive for, was it 3 years?
Yeah, so yeah.
Talk to us about that, yeah.
Yeah. We were trying to, okay, let's take it back to the beginning.
Maybe when you guys were talking about, take us straight back to the beginning.
So I'd always wanted to be a mom. It was something I always wanted, a family. From when I think I found out that I had polycystic ovary syndrome, I was 19 when I found that out. So from then, I always wanted, I think once you're told you can't have something, you kind of want it even more. So I was like adamant that I was going to have a family. At the time of when I found out that I'd got it, no one was speaking about it. Nobody knew anything about it. So obviously the first thing I did was Google, and that's the worst thing that I could have done.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it was just all like, I won't have children. I'll probably like, you just, yeah, awful, awful, mm-hmm. awful, awful. So from that point I had, operations done privately just to check. I think until you actually look inside, you don't know like the severity of your condition.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the operation done. I did go privately because I didn't want to wait.
What operation is it?
So I had a laparoscopy. So I had ovarian drilling, where they basically put holes in your ovaries. And then I had my fallopian tubes checked to make sure that they were like clear so that the eggs could kind of go down them, check if that was okay. And then I did have my uterus checked. And I did have 3 fibroids at the time. They took away 2. I still have 1 left. Just because the 2 that they took away, they would have affected like me carrying and my ability to conceive. So I did have that done when I was quite young. I think I was 21 when I first had that done, but I wanted to know whether I would be able to carry a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, my consultant at the time, he said to me, you shouldn't have any issues carrying a baby, but your issues are going to be conceiving.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to need help. So from that point, I feel like it kind of always threw me in terms of my relationships as well, because...
Sorry, were you with Lewis at this point?
No.
Okay.
So this is way... Before this
Lewis.
Is even before Survival of the Fittest.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah,
okay,
so
okay.
I was like, yeah, literally 19, 20, 21.
Okay,
21.
Sorry, yeah.
And I feel like moving forward in relationships that I was in, it was always something that I felt was a negative about myself that I had to have the awkward conversation with them of, oh, look, if you want to have children, it's going to be difficult. So then when I got with Lewis, it was something straight away that I felt like I had to speak to him about. So to a lot of people, it would have probably seemed very quick to speak about having children. But to me, it was something that I viewed as like, what's the word? As like a negative about me.
Yeah.
Something that...
Like it was a problem almost.
Yeah, that it was a problem. And I didn't want us to be 2-3 years down the line and then us have that conversation and him to not understand.
Yeah.
Or it was something that I wanted to see how he'd react to that. So we had the conversation really early on. I was like, listen, I've got polycystic ovary syndrome and you can imagine. He's sitting there like, sorry, what? what is that?
In English, please.
Yeah, literally. Obviously, a man, they're not really going to, like,
and
known.
Not even that, but, like, a lot of women don't know.
Yeah, so many
it.
Women.
Sorry, just consult you real quick. How did you know to go and get checked for it? Did your body start showing you symptoms?
So, yeah, I had symptoms. I could go 7 months without having a period.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, there's
something not right.
Definitely wrong.
Okay.
Something not right. So I was going to the doctors and they ended up sending me for an ultrasound.
Okay, I'm with you.
And then that's when I went and, yeah, they told me, you've got polycystic ovary syndrome, and I ended up Googling it. So, yeah.
It's crazy because before we carry on, how do I say this? I was struggling with a really bad period. So it was almost the opposite.
Okay.
So they were like really severe, like so intense. It was like debilitating. Like some days I couldn't get out of bed. Like, yes, they were regular. Mm-hmm. They hit the same day of every month, but they were
excruciating.
It was so intense, both physically, emotionally, mentally. Yeah. So I went to get checked privately too. And I had polycystic ovaries, not PCOS, but PCO, which by the way, guys, it is quite different. PCOS is a lot more life changing.
Yeah.
PCOS is more common and can be managed a lot easier, I think I would say.
Like PCO.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The PCO and PCOS.
It's so confusing, like the PCO and the PCO.
So the polycystic ovaries and then polycystic ovary syndrome.
Yeah.
Syndrome is the one where it really takes life to a new level of like navigating. And when I found out that I had PCO, I'll see Carl if I can find the ultrasound of my ovaries and we can put it in, I don't mind. And it just looked like my ovary and just hella holes everywhere.
All over them, yeah.
And I actually reversed it a little bit through diet. I don't know if you know much about like how diet affects PCO. Mm-hmm. And it really helped. Kind of side subject, but if any ladies watching this has PCO, which is different to PCOS, diet is a huge factor, especially sugar.
Yeah.
And I stopped sugar completely, cold turkey, changed my life. And then my periods became a lot more manageable and things got a lot easier. When you had that conversation with Lewis, he took it well?
Yeah, really well.
Maybe that's when you knew he was also a real one, you know what I mean?
It was an awkward conversation, but I feel like at that point, I was kind of like, it is what it is.
So how old are you now?
When did I meet Lewis? I'm 27 now, so I met him when I was 23.
Okay, cool.
I'm 23, and I always wanted a family young. I was like, 25, I'm going to have a baby. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was kind of my vision of where I saw myself. So we had the conversation and then lockdown happened.
Yeah.
So we were together all the time. Like from the minute that we met, we didn't spend a second apart for like the whole of lockdown, like at all. So obviously there were so many conversations that were had in that, like about everything.
Yeah.
Like, but then obviously, especially having a family. And we kind of decided, because I knew that it was going to take me a while to potentially
conceive.
I think I underestimated how long it would take and what we'd have to go through. But I knew that it was going to take a lot longer than the average person, just because obviously I'd been told.
So your expectations were kind of set, which looking back, I don't know. I don't know how to say, but like probably was a good thing a little bit, because it's not like they were saying like, oh yeah, this is a situation, we've done these like operations or whatever, mm-hmm. and now you're good to go. It was mm-hmm. still very much like, look, it's going to be a long process and it is going to be difficult. Definitely. So especially as a woman, that it's kind of the expectations there, mm-hmm. so you can kind of like manage that. Does
manage
that make sense?
Yeah, I think I was definitely naive. I think because when I had my operation, my consultant told me, like, if you take these tablets, at the time he was saying Clomid, if you take these tablets and you have sex, you should manage to get pregnant.
Wow, wait, what's Clomid?
So it's like an ovulation induction tablet. Okay. So Clomid you take whilst you're on your period.
Okay.
So there's Clomid and Letrozole, and you take those different days depending on, for me it was from day 2 to day 5 of my period, and you take those to try and help with your ovaries releasing an egg for ovulation mm-hmm. to happen. So that was kind of where the path that I thought I was gonna go down, but then obviously it didn't turn out
like
that. Yeah, it didn't work out like that. When we did first go to the fertility clinic, we had to have like checks. I had to have checks.
So when, at what stage did you go to the fertility clinic? Was it like 5 months into trying? Was it quite soon or did you leave it? Because you were trying for 3 years. So where did that come into it?
So we were together for a year.
Yeah.
I'd never been on contraception. Mm-hmm. I'd stopped contraception when I was 21. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how you were saying, trying mm-hmm. to manage my PCOS mm-hmm. with diet, lifestyle changes. Yeah. I didn't want to take the pill anymore because for me personally, I didn't agree with the hormones and everything else. I've already got a hormone imbalance. So to me, it didn't make sense to then
throw another bit into
the mix. You know, just here you go, have another tablet, you know, like throw some more hormones in there.
Yeah.
So for me, I just decided not to. So I tried to manage it with, like, you know, there's so many pages that you can follow now on Instagram that help you with diet and what are the best foods to eat and mm-hmm. all things like that. So that was really helpful for me. So yeah, it was probably after about a year of us being together that we weren't being safe. We weren't necessarily saying we're trying, but we weren't being safe. Mm-hmm. Like, and in the back of my head, I knew that it wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like a worry.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we were trying for probably having unprotected sex essentially for probably around 9 months. Mm-hmm. And I think Lewis at that point started to question.
Clock everything, yeah.
Right. Because I think when we had the conversation, he was kind of like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then obviously when you're actually having sex and nothing's happening, I think he kind of was like, oh, like, it's not just happening. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. We're not just having sex, it's happening. So I did say to him that, look, I'm going to call up a fertility clinic that I've been recommended. Like, there's a few that I've wanted to speak to. And he was like, yeah, like, he was so supportive. Like, I couldn't have asked for anyone better, really, mm-hmm. to go through this process with. But yeah, I called up the fertility clinic. He went in, I remember they had to do like a sperm count on him. And he was just like, I had to go into this room, but like by myself, there was no books. My, can I say porn on YouTube or is it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you can.
He was like, I couldn't get porn on my phone because I've got child locks on it. He was like, so I literally just had to do it into a little cup. And then this hand came through the wall and like grabbed... like grabbed my sample and that was it.
That
but
was it.
Like
I bet that was such a weird experience.
So traumatic. Like he's walking into this room and all of the people that are in the building know what he's about to
of
go in.
Of course,
there.
Yeah.
So he's walking in like
head down. Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, oh bless him. So we had all our checks and mm-hmm. he had that and then I obviously went in for my ultrasound for them to confirm what mm-hmm. I already knew. And then they said to me, obviously about Clomid, but there was there's a new drug called Letrozole, which they've started using more recently, and they said that Letrozole would be more suitable for me.
Okay.
So then we
same
started.
Concept. Take
yeah,
it. Yeah.
Same concept. And then on the day prior to my egg being released, they would give me an injection to put in my belly.
Okay.
For...
So is this IVF or no? This
no.
is separate. Okay.
So this is like ovulation induction. That's
okay.
probably
okay.
The best way. So you take the tablets, and then on day 13, you take the injection. So that on day 14, the injection, it takes around 36 to 48 hours for the egg to be released after mm-hmm. the injection.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that, and the first time I fell pregnant from it, like, so this was like our first time trying. I took letrozole, done the injection. They told me you need to have sex every other day, and I fell pregnant. Like, and then they told me the date to do my pregnancy test, and I did the pregnancy test and it came out pregnant. And I remember we were like, "Oh my god! Like, this has literally worked first time for us. Like, I can't believe that this has happened." So obviously we were like over the moon, like
yeah.
we were so happy. I've got a video, actually I'm gonna have to show you the video. Lewis is sobbing, like,
oh, bless
he's
him.
Literally sobbing, like, when I told him, because I set the camera up to like tell him, and it was just so like beautiful. And then with the fertility clinic, when you do the ovulation induction, you just call them to say my pregnancy test came up pregnant, and then they say okay, you will call your GP, let them know, and then you'll go for your first scan.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up going for our first scan, and they said like that the baby had stopped growing at like 8 weeks. So they were like, you've had like a miscarriage kind of thing. So like that was really like hard at the time to like deal with. I told myself I wasn't going to cry on this today. but yeah, it was really difficult at the time. And in my head, I was just like, I can't do this again. Like, I can't. Your first miscarriage, I feel like it's so... Oh, like, I feel like you can't even explain it. You feel like women go through miscarriages every day, and I know that. But I feel like when you're going through it, you just can't... You can't even, yeah, you just can't get your head around it. Like, it was so difficult. So then we were trying that every month. So we literally did that every single month for like probably around a year and a half. So obviously, in terms of my mental health, that had such a negative effect on it, because it was like, okay, during my period, I'd take these hormone tablets, then I'd do my injection, we'd have sex, then I'd come to the pregnancy test and it'd be not pregnant, then I'd have my period, and then the same thing again every single month. Like, it was
draining.
So draining, like, so draining. After that miscarriage, we did have to wait like 3 months before they'd let us
start
anything again, just for my body to like...
And also the impact on your relationship, it stayed...
Oh, it had a massive effect on our relationship.
Negatively?
Yeah.
Okay.
Our sex life, for one.
Routine.
Yeah, routine of, like, there was no enjoyment in it anymore,
no.
because it felt like it couldn't just be natural, or it was like, okay, we've got to have sex this day, and it's so hard to keep that, because sometimes, like, you might not want to, and then the days that you want to, you're like, oh, well, we can't today, because we've... got to let your sperm, like, you know, build up over the next 24 hours. So, like, that was really, like, yeah, it was hard. It was really, really hard. And I feel like looking back now, I was majorly depressed. Like, really, really depressed. Like, I should have gone, realistically, to speak to somebody about it. But I think that I've always been someone that I just deal with it. I just get on with it. Like, I still was just... Yeah.
Head forward.
Tunnel vision. I've just got to get on with it. So we did that for around a year and a half after the first, the first time that we tried. And obviously it wasn't working. So, and we were spending like £2,000 every month on doing this.
Because
it's all private.
God, that's it's extortionate.
Yeah, so expensive. So our consultant kind of said to us, look, you're spending all this money every month.
Nothing's happening.
And nothing's happening. My advice to you is to go to IVF. And I feel like at that point when he mentioned that to me, like my whole world crashed. Like it was the worst. Like I thought, I am such a failure as a woman. Mm-hmm. Like I was adamant that that was just something that I would never have to go through. I'd heard of so many women that had gone through it, and I was just adamant that I was going to be able to do this. Like, I think the control freak in me was like, no, no, I can do this. Yeah. Like, I can, like, I don't need anything else. But
yeah,
yeah, when he said that, I think he said it to us in the November, and I think it took me a while for me to get my head around it and
of
be
course.
Like, oh my God, like, this is real. Like, this is actually what we're going to have to do now. So then obviously you start researching it. And
okay, more like, Googling.
More Googling. Worst thing you can do. Yeah. Don't bother.
Yeah, don't Google.
Yeah. Do not Google it. If I've got any advice, is just watch like people's YouTube videos. And I found a lot of comfort in, I think you've had her on your podcast before, Taylor.
Yeah.
I found so much comfort in her videos.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which was incredible.
Oh, I love that.
Because obviously she'd been through such a difficult time with trying to conceive her baby. So yeah, watch other people's like journeys. Do not Google.
So don't Google.
Do
but
not Google.
I reckon when you're in, you're told that you need to go through that. I reckon there is quite a big community online.
Yeah, massive.
Because I said, I don't know if I've said it on the camera or off the camera, I lose track of what I have and haven't said, but when I put up about the podcast, like so many people are literally rowing in the same boat. Mm-hmm. And it's just a case of like, if there's one thing I will like do with this podcast is to like raise awareness for so many things like this and have women on that you're not alone. Like, you're like, for example, you're one person whose journey I followed. I also know of like maybe 10 other people in my life that have taken that journey. And it's just a case of finding comfort, as you said, in other people's journey, because if they can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, definitely.
And vice versa. And I think, Matisse, a lot of people would have taken a lot of comfort from your story as well.
Yeah, I like to think so. At first, I was very, like, unsure as to whether to share.
Of course.
What we were going through. But then I'd put little things out, and the amount of messages I'd get from the tiny little stories that I put out, I'd be like, oh my
it's
God,
real.
Like,
yeah.
It, so many people. And in a really selfish way, it made me feel so much better about myself, the fact that there were so many other women going through it.
I don't think that's selfish.
Which
I just
sounds
think that's,
like...
No, I don't think it's selfish. I think it sounds human.
Yeah,
because when you feel so alone in something and then you talk about it and then other people are like, oh, me too. It's
oh,
like,
well, I went through this, or my mom went through this.
Yeah.
Or, and then you think, oh, okay, it's actually not as bad as what I'm thinking it. And I think that I'd got this embarrassment. And then especially with Lewis, like I just felt, like I remember just breaking down and crying and just being like, well, you could just go and be with another woman and have a baby and not have to deal with this and not go through this like emotional journey and like go through all these ups and downs and just go and do it normally. And he was like, but I don't want to, like, I want to do it with you. So like that was...
Thank God you have such a supportive, loving man.
Yeah, he definitely was. But yeah, finding comfort in other people's stories, definitely the one piece of advice that I'd give to anybody.
So you started the IVF journey. Mm-hmm. How long after you were given the news that is something that you would have to do?
So we spoke to the consultant about it in the November. He said, we won't start it in the December because the point of when you have to take it's different for everybody, but you have to take an amount of injections every single day to increase how many eggs. So as a woman, you usually produce between 1 to 2 eggs, like, and then you ovulate, you release one or release two, depending on you and the cycle. And then it fertilises, you get pregnant. Whereas with the IVF, obviously they want to create loads and loads and loads of eggs because they want to get as many out as possible. So you start a course of, depending on your, like what your your AMH level. So your AMH level is whether you've got, if you've got a low AMH level, you've got like a low egg count, mm-hmm. so you'd need to be on a higher
dosage, yeah.
Or if you've got a higher one, then obviously they've got to
balance
that, because there's also a lot of side effects with, you can be really poorly. So mine was really high.
Okay.
So I created a lot of eggs, okay. Which they were worried about, because my ovaries went to, like, at one point, both my ovaries were like 10 centimetres each. And they were like, so your ovaries are 3 centimetres and mine went to 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were like, your ovaries have really swole.
And did you feel that?
My belly was so sore, and like, yeah. They were really sore. Like, yeah. You could feel that. But with that happening, what can happen is ovarian hyperstimulation, which you can be really, really poorly from. So they have to balance that with the injections that they give you. So from the November, when they said, we missed December because of when my egg retrieval, like, mm-hmm. operation would have mm-hmm. been. So we ended up
Is this
doing
what
Jan.
Year are we in? January 2022?
Yeah, so this was January of, so like a year ago.
So it's 2023 now. So was it January 2022?
No, it was January 2023.
Okay, so a year ago. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
like 11 months ago.
Yeah, 11 months ago. So in the November last year, so 2022, is when we had the conversation.
And then started it in the January.
And then we started it in the January, end of December, beginning of January. So
what did that look like? What does IVF look like? What is the reality of it?
Needles.
Trigger warning.
All the time.
Needles all the time.
Literally all the time. So, yeah, I think at one point I was doing about four or five injections a day.
Is that at one time?
So I'd have to do like the menopure, which is the stimulation, like twice a day, and then I'd do another injection twice a day, and then I was doing one in the middle of the day.
Okay.
There was a point when I was doing one 3 times a day, like it would change. Because during the period of when you're doing the injections, the fertility clinic are checking you.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Like, every other day, I was going in and they
And you were doing this all private? All
privately, yeah.
Which, if you're wearing shirt, is extortionate?
Yeah.
It's extortionate.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, is also another thing just to add into the mix, like, the financial stress.
Side of it, definitely. So you've got, like, your relationship, which is, obviously, and then you've got your mental health, then you've got the financial
health,
aspect of it all,
and your physical health as well.
And your physical, yeah.
Do you sorry, just my brain as the questions are coming into my head.
No.
Do you, when you were injecting, do you have to inject in the same place?
So you can inject anywhere in like your lower stomach or my back. So I was alternating it because it would get really sore.
Was it painful?
The injections themselves weren't painful, but the one injection, when you'd put the liquid in, it would burn. So that was quite painful, like the burning sensation. And then obviously it was the fact that you were doing them so, you know,
the
like
repetition.
Yeah, the repetition of, and at first I was constantly doing them in my belly. Well, Lewis was doing them, to be honest, constantly in my belly, and doing how many injections a day over that amount of days, he was like, ow, that's getting really sore. Yeah, really, really sore. So that was painful. And then obviously you'd get bruising from it. And that bit was really, really rubbish. But at the same time as it being really hard, and I felt, because I was being proactive, it made me feel like, okay, this is just that one step closer to
the dream.
To the dream, yeah. to having what we want, mm-hmm. like to having that little person that's now in my belly. Yeah.
It's amazing, I love these films.
Yeah. So it was hard, but it felt like when I wasn't proactive is when I struggled the most.
Mm-hmm.
When I had a plan in place,
mm-hmm.
I felt, okay, I can do this, mm-hmm. I can just keep kind
tunnel
of...
Tunnel vision.
Yeah, yeah, tunnel vision. One thing that I also did find that was friendships. Mm-hmm. There were so many of my friendships that deteriorated over that period of time. Just because I wasn't Matisse, like, for 3 years. I was so unhappy, like... And I know that I was, and I know that I probably wasn't the best friend that I could be at that time. And I know that I was trying my hardest to be supportive, fun, happy, joining in on the activities mm-hmm. and what everyone's doing. But I felt like I was just on a cloud
yeah.
all the time.
Is it all a bit of a blur?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just felt like I was just always just not really there. So then that was also really hard going through that.
But I'm sure the friends that have remained...
Oh, my God.
...are the ones that
yeah.
will be with you for the rest of your
for
life.
For the rest
because
of my life.
If I think of, say, one of my best friends, if they were going through that, I would never expect anything of them.
Mm.
So if that was happening and you felt almost, not the pressure, but, like, the pressure to turn up and be there as this... Because you are... Matisse, you are a very bubbly, smiley person. So, like, that pressure to continue to be mm-hmm. that person when you don't have a capacity for it.
Mm-mm.
I think it's just the universe telling you who will be there in your life. Do you know what I mean?
Most definitely. Like, I now look back and thank the universe because I know. And, like, looking at when I ended up getting pregnant
mm-hmm.
to when the universe removed a lot of people out of my mm-hmm. life, it makes sense.
Okay.
Like, just everything just made sense. And I thought that was literally you saying, right, you need to get rid of this, 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 and this before this can happen because
yeah.
this is so precious.
And important.
And so special and so important that you need...
The right circle.
The right circle. And, like, the friends that I have in my life right now, I could cry even thinking about them so much.
They're the best part.
Yeah, especially my best friend. Like, I think I see you,
the brunette girl.
Eden, yeah.
I think I see you post about her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, it's like a sisterhood, isn't it?
Yeah, she is. She.
And
she
it's beautiful
definitely.
That your little girl will have, mm-hmm. I know you have a sister, biologically,
yeah.
but people that we'll they, she that. Will call
yeah.
auntie as well
yeah.
because they're people in your life that have... ridden the wave with you is
yeah.
that the English but
yeah definitely
yeah and I think that's really important when you're going through something like this and mm. I think although it's completely separate but when I've already spoke about it a lot on this podcast but I can relate in a different way because when I had Ziggy my mental health went like and I wasn't Lucy I couldn't operate as Lucy and I wasn't the Lucy that people knew and it the same thing happened to me and I was like oh,
mm-hmm.
okay. And I think having Ziggy, it's like the reverse direction, like getting pregnant and having Ziggy, exactly the same. It definitely showed me who's going to be there in my life,
mm-hmm.
for my life and for my son.
Yeah,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah,
and I
definitely.
Just think it's the universe being like...
It works.
I'm just
such...
cleansing your world, yeah. princess. Like, just
honestly,
bear with us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
We'll just get rid of this
yeah.
and this.
Just
and
switch
this,
to being
this
brilliant
person.
A little bit. Yeah.
and everything will be fine.
And
yeah.
everything will be fine.
No, yeah.
So then you... Because when you posted your reel of your pregnancy announcement, one bit I was just drawn to because I was like, actually deep that. So you were in, you looked beautiful. You were in like a going out outfit, I think. I'm guessing, correct me if I'm wrong. And you were injecting. So were you like going on a night out or were you going out? Or do you know the bit I'm talking about in the reel? You're in like a...
I think I'm in Ibiza.
In Ibiza? So, but you're in like a gorgeous two-piece and it's
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I'm in a two-piece,
but it's like,
yeah.
I can just actually imagine your mindset. So it's
mm-hmm.
like, you're in Ibiza, but you're not in Ibiza.
Yeah, definitely.
Like,
and obviously, I'm going... So at that point, we're in Ibiza with like a lot of friends. And they're all drinking. And I'm not. Because
can you drink with IBS?
So you can... It's personal preference. So
okay.
if someone chose to still drink or smoke or whatever... But for me, my whole lifestyle from when we were trying to conceive changed. Like,
so drinking wasn't in
there? No, like no. I was like, I'm not drinking. Like, I'm not. Like, there was literally just nothing. Like, I wouldn't even have a puff on a vape. Like,
yeah. no.
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't drink fizzy drinks. Like, there was just...
You really did the lifestyle
yeah,
change.
Like,
yeah,
like, completely changed my lifestyle. So at that point, when I'm in Ibiza, we're at Mambo's and I'm like, oh my God, it's 8:00. I need to do my injection.
Was Lewis with you?
Yeah,
oh, thank
Lewis
God.
Was with me. So even things like, but then when we were on that holiday, I'd, so that is, at that point, those injections that I'm doing are blood thinning injections. So I had the transfer. So we did a transfer April time.
Okay.
That worked, but I had another miscarriage.
Oh, wait, sorry, real quick, because I just don't know anything about IVF, so I really want to... When you say did the transfer, so does that mean they got...
Sorry, yeah.
Real break it down for me, because speak to me like I know nothing, because I really don't know a lot about it. No, don't apologise, I just want to make sure I really understand.
You understand, yeah, of course. I feel like I forget, yeah, like that...
Because you've been through it, you're probably like, damn, everyone, yeah.
Yeah, everyone understands what I'm talking about. Transfer, what do you mean? You know what transfer is.
Do you know what? I'm probably everyone knows, but I just... No, I just I'm not so aware.
So, yeah, we had... So the transfer is... At the time of when they did my egg retrieval, they took all my eggs out. They called me. So this is going back to January. I had my egg retrieval on the 20th of January. And they call me to let you know how many eggs they'd collected. So I'd got around 60 stimulated follicles at the time, which was way higher than what they wanted.
Okay.
They ended up taking out around 18.
How do they do that?
So they put like a needle, so it goes through your uterus and then into your ovary. And then they're like...
So it goes in your vagina?
Yeah.
Yeah. And does it hurt?
And then they're like... So, but I was... They... Like, I was out of it.
Sedated you?
Yeah, so they sedated me. Yeah. So, yeah.
So you couldn't feel anything?
No. Well, it's supposed to be... what's it called? A conscious anaesthetic.
Okay.
So where you're awake, but... But I could feel everything, but I was out of it.
Okay.
So I remember crying, but I couldn't say anything. So they ended up giving me the highest, like, dose, basically knocking me completely out for them to do this because I, for some reason, was still kind of feeling everything.
Wow.
So, yeah, they basically suck the eggs out.
Okay.
And then they count.
Fascinating.
It's so, blows like...
my mind.
It's incredible. Like, science is...
It's mind-blowing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So they called me to say we've got 18 mature follicles that were of a big enough size.
Perfect, which is great.
So I was like, great.
Okay,
oh
good.
My God, got a lot of... And then they put the mature follicles with Lewis's sperm.
Is that the sperm that he did a long time ago, or does he have to
He had
again?
To give a new...
Okay.
Yeah, when I was having the operation, he was just, you know, rolling out this sperm in the room with no book and no porn. Still no porn on his phone. Poor thing. So yeah, he had to give another sample at that point. And then they straight away put the mature follicles with his sperm.
Wow,
okay. So then they'll call you to let you know how many are fertilised.
And how long does it take to fertilise, you know?
So fertilisation happens in the first 24 hours.
So did they just go in like a Petri dish and they just...
Petri dish and the sperm just
wiggles. Oh, got it. Blows my mind.
Wiggles at all the little eggs.
And that was your... In your video, you... Was that...
So that's the egg that got fertilised. But if you look at the side of that little egg, you can see Lewis's little sperm all at the side, the ones that didn't make it in.
Oh.
Yeah, it's wild.
Swimmers that didn't make it.
The ones that were trying so hard.
God, it just blows
It's incredible.
My mind.
Like, if I could go into a job
yes.
now... That is what I would
of
go
course.
Into. Like, I wish when I was younger, I knew about this stuff. Because I just think...
And you know what's crazy? I say the same thing. Like,
it's
if
incredible.
I didn't do what I was doing, I would want to train in female health.
Yeah,
I'd be like
definitely.
A gynae or... I find it fascinating.
Fascinating.
So you got the call and they said, yes, it worked.
Yeah, so they said... And then they called me to let me know that 11 had fertilised.
Which is amazing.
Which, again, was great. So they were like, on average, we want around... 50% of them to survive until they basically had to survive in the Petri dish until day five. So they had to last 5 days of growing, of continually growing.
And this is the start of a baby.
The cells. So as the sperm goes into the egg, it divides into two cells. Then it divides into four. Then it keeps doubling.
Mm-hmm.
So they make sure that all the cells are dividing into equal. like divisions, mm-hmm. To make sure that that baby is like okay. So by day five, I'd got three embryos that were 5 days old, that were like
good.
Okay, yeah, they're good. At that point, a lot of people in IVF can normally go in and have the transfer. So they put the embryo that's 5 days old, it's called a fresh transfer, like inside the woman's uterus.
Okay.
And yeah, hope that it attaches into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really poorly, so I suffered from the ovulation, the ovarian hyperstimulation, so which was where my ovaries swole, and they had to keep a closer eye on me. So they were like, we can't risk putting the embryo in because we could make you really, really poorly. So they were like, you need to wait until your ovaries have settled down. And then for some reason, like, I just had a breakdown at that point. Like, I was just like, I've been through all of this. I've done the operation. They're there ready waiting. And now my body's saying, oh no, you can't do it. And I just thought, oh, it's just, one thing. And it was like, now I look back and I think, God, Matisse, like, you're so dramatic.
I don't think you could ever look back and honestly say that about yourself. You look back and you say, like, you're so effing strong. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And every, like, I said to Matisse as I was walking down the corridor to this podcast, I was like, I felt really emotional today because I think I took for granted what getting pregnant is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I felt pregnant. Oh. And it's like, when you actually deep it,
there's so much to getting pregnant, like.
And I completely took that for granted. Mm-hmm. If anything, I was like, and I understand circumstances for me, like, were obviously extremely different, but I was like, almost looked at it as like, oh, not a negative thing because.
But, oh my God.
Ziggy.
I'm pregnant.
Is like, but yeah, I was like, yeah, I can't explain it, but I think I definitely, and I think even listening to you now, and as I sit here and I just listen, I'm like, as women, regardless of your circumstance, you cannot take that process for granted.
No.
Because, for example, yeah, okay, if I'm pregnant, but next time it might not be like that. And I think it's really crucial as women, we're really clued up. And listening to more people like you and your story, because I think it opens your eyes to so much.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, my whole pregnancy and everything, I was naive. Because I was like, oh, I'm just going to this, blah, 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 airy fairy. And it's like a whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
So you had your breakdown.
Yeah. Yeah, in January.
When you said you were really poorly with the
ovaries, hyperstimulation.
How did it make you poorly? Were you like bedbound? What did that look like?
So in terms of like physical, there was nothing really physical apart from my stomach being really, really swole.
Okay.
Obviously my ovaries were huge. And there was like quite a bit of fluid around them. So my tummy looked big, like I was very, very swollen. But that was it really. And then in terms of like everything else, I kind of just felt a little bit more groggy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just a bit all over the place because your hormones, you've been taking injections for like every day and then you've had an operation and you just feel a bit like still just away with the fairies a little bit. Just not really with it, not really on planet Earth. So yeah, there wasn't really any other physical things that were poorly. It was just more so I had to be monitored to make sure the liquid wasn't spreading to like my lungs or my, you know, like my other organs, because that's when like you can have
really bad, yeah.
Yeah, complications. Luckily that didn't happen. So my ovaries went back down. And then we ended up doing a transfer in the March
this year. Yeah.
Yeah. Then they give you have the 2 week wait, which is the TWW, which everyone calls it. So you have your 2 week wait of when you're waiting to do your pregnancy test.
Okay.
Yeah, I waited like 9 days. So mine was not a 2 week wait. I was so impatient with it. And I, after 9 days, they say do it on the 14th day, like the date that we give you, do it on that day. Yeah, I couldn't wait.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up doing it early and then it did come back pregnant.
Okay.
So we were like, oh my God. But at this point, me and Lewis are so much more reserved. Like, I wish that I could I wish that I filmed the times that I told him this time to look back at the difference of the first time I told him mm-hmm. to these times, because it was completely different. Like, so different. It was not that, oh my God, it was just was not that at all. It
because
was,
I guess you've got the
that doubt,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, and the unknown of like, okay, but what's actually going
yeah,
to happen?
Yeah, what's going to happen?
Even that, it just must be so mentally exhausting.
Yeah, definitely. For me and for him, yeah. I think.
So it came back positive on day 9?
Yeah, on day 9. So I did call the fertility clinic and say, it's come back positive. And they were like, we told you not to test. And I'm like, well, I did. And they're like, well, call us back on day 14. So okay. I was testing every day at that point, which was probably the worst thing that I could have been doing to myself. And each day, the line was coming back different shades.
Okay.
So some days it'd be darker, some days it'd be lighter.
Okay.
And normally when your HCG is increasing every day, the line should get darker and darker and darker. So that was kind of like, oh, something's...
Bit of an alarm.
But for me, I was just trying to be like, no, I'm pregnant. Yeah. This has worked. I've done IVF. I've done everything I'm supposed to. Mm-hmm. I'm eating how I'm supposed to. I'm taking all the right supplements. I'm doing everything mm-hmm. right. This is going to work. And then, yeah, we ended up having a miscarriage again, which was just... Yeah, the second one was so much easier than the first.
Okay.
So much easier. I think I cried in bed for like a week instead of like 4 weeks. So it was so much easier the second time.
Was there a reason why? Is that a question I can ask? Like,
yeah.
Were the medics able to like pinpoint?
Oh, in terms of why I was
not why you were crying. I know why you were crying. Because I think
why were you so upset?
We would all be crying. But was there? Yeah. What were the medics pinpointing as to why it was happening again?
They couldn't really give me an answer.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't really give me an answer. Yeah, I said how like this is my second miscarriage now, but to be honest, it wasn't until recently that what's her name, Mylene.
Yeah,
has changed it that if you have
a miscarriage,
you get help after your first one rather than it be having to have three.
Love that.
Like,
it's gonna be life changing for so many women.
What a great woman. So yeah, after the second miscarriage, they still not really at that point. They're like, well, you just had a miscarriage, like kind of thing. And I'm like, well, why? And they're like, because it just happens. Like,
okay,
it just is what it is. So then I actually asked a change consultant.
Okay. Were you just not gelling?
Like, we gelled. I just felt as though I wasn't getting... When I'm asking questions, obviously, I've never been through this before, so I need you to explain everything. A bit like how you're asking me.
Yeah.
Explain it, please.
Yeah.
I need, like, bullet points. I need to know everything. Because
and
I don't...
you should absolutely be given
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, and we're paying all of this all money. Of this.
Can I ask... Don't answer if you don't want to. Yeah. But how much did IVF cost you?
So, like, IVF...
Like, the whole...
Everything together, we're probably... About 30,000. Your giggle then. Yeah, we probably spent about 30,000 on our whole fertility so far. Yeah. Yeah. Speechless.
That's crazy. I know IVF is expensive. I've seen like other podcasts and like people speak about it, but I think when you know someone and then like they're telling you their story, and it's like, not only did I have to go through all of this, like, emotional, like, almost torment, like, physical pain, depression, it's like, oh, and I also had to spend £30,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But, yeah. I think when you, for me, what? Anyway.
Wait, sorry. Real important question. You can do one on the NHS.
Yeah, you can do one on the NHS.
Did you just wanted to do as quick as possible? Is that why
so,
you didn't?
So, I did go to the NHS. When I went to the fertility clinic, they said to me, go to your GP, explain to them that you want to do IVF. Like, they asked, they check your BMI, they check if you're a smoker, if either me or Lewis have got children already. Like, there's things that
criteria.
Yeah. And we fit it. So they were like, yeah, that's fine. We can do this. Come in, sign the paperwork, and we'll let you know. But then, obviously, that's a waiting game.
Okay.
And that just was not for
working.
Me.
No. Okay, yeah.
Like, in terms of the weighing, and, like, I need...
You wanted.
Yeah. I need a plan. Mm-hmm. I need to know, this is happening, this is happening, mm-hmm. this is happening, and I'm being proactive, because mm-hmm. it's the only thing that kept me...
Going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I would have had to have wait for the NHS to tell me, oh, now you can come in, or, oh, now this can... It just... No.
Good for you.
So I feel really, really lucky. There's a lot of women that I spoke to at the period of time when we were doing IVF that were struggling and couldn't afford to do IVF and were waiting for the NHS or didn't fit the NHS criteria. So there was one woman that I was speaking to quite a lot, and her BMI was too high. Mm-hmm. So she couldn't get it on the NHS.
Wow.
And she couldn't afford to go privately. So she was, like, really, really down, and, like, I was like, oh, my God, I'm so lucky that we can do this, like, because...
Finding the positive.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that...
Yeah, you're right, there is.
That can't, and, like, I shouldn't take that for granted, so I was really, really grateful that me and Lewis had
that position.
Yeah, we're in that position to be able to do that. So, yeah, we did that transfer, and then the video that you're on about where I had the two-piece on is... We did another transfer the 2nd of June.
Yeah.
And we went on holiday on the 4th of June. Mm-hmm. So while we were on holiday, after I did the transfer, when I changed consultants, mm-hmm. she said to me, there's no, like, scientific evidence to prove that putting you on blood thinning injections will, like...
Help,
she said, but it does.
Okay. No, I love that because she probably, maybe, don't know, don't want to jump the gun, is the reason that you're pregnant, maybe?
Like, honestly, like, I put it down to the fact that, like, we changed consultant, and she, like, when she came on the phone to me, she explained my story back to me better than what I explained it to her. And I was like, oh my God, you've sat there and
you've
read.
Was the first consultant male or female?
Male.
Okay, and the second was female?
Was female. I definitely preferred having a female consultant.
Yeah, I don't know, like, even not someone who's been through the process or whatever, mm-hmm. but I feel like woman to woman mm-hmm. may be a little easier to relate.
And straight away, they can just sympathise with you.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame, isn't it?
Yeah, completely different. So when I spoke to her, she said, we can put you on the blood thinners. Yeah, there's no scientific evidence. But
she was like, do it.
Yeah, kind of. I'm not going to tell you yes, I'm not going to tell you no, but blah, blah. And I was kind of like, okay, I'll go away and have a think about it and we'll come back to it. So I ended up doing the blood thinners. So from the day of when I had the transfer, so I had the embryo put in. Mm-hmm. So I'll go back to before, actually, because I messed up with my medication and I had another meltdown. Honestly, so this transfer that happened on the 2nd of June, you have to take progesterone pessaries vaginally.
Wow.
And estrogen tablets orally.
Yeah.
Before you transfer mm-hmm. to get your hormones up to the right level mm-hmm. to accept. Because mm-hmm. obviously your body's like, oh my God, this is a foreign object.
Yeah, of course.
Like,
yeah.
The progesterone pessaries are the worst little slippery, greasy egg things that,
really?
Oh my God, they're awful, loose. Like,
honestly, is it like, really, like an egg shape?
Like a little tiny egg.
Yeah.
And I had to put slippery, two in the morning, two in on an afternoon, and two in on a night.
Wow.
Like every single day. And it was just.
So are you working gross. At this point or are you?
Yeah. I'm working. I'm trying to have a sex life. Like, come on. Like, I really just want to have sex. Like, just let me live. It's the only thing that I can do now to, like, enjoy.
Yeah.
I'm working. Like, I'm trying to have, like, a relationship, I'm trying to have friendships, like, it just feels, and I've got this
slippery
stuff coming out of me all day, every day, and I'm like, this
wait, so
is
when
really...
you put it in, it would fall out?
Like, so it would obviously, like, dissolve, and then it would...
Like, discharge?
Yeah. It was so gross, it was literally so gross.
I
it was
just
so
imagine.
Slippery, and just, like, it was just greasy. Oh my God, the progesterone pessaries were the worst. So I had to do those. And then I was supposed to be taking the estrogen tablets, like, orally 3 times a day. I was only taking them twice a day.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Okay.
I just feel like I hadn't read my protocol properly. So then when I went in to get my blood checked to check if they were the right levels to have the transfer on the 2nd of June, my estrogen was way lower than what it should have been. So I was at like 5.3 or something, and it needed to be over 10.
Okay.
So they're like, you can't have the transfer. And I'm like, what do you mean? I've like, I'm having the transfer and I'm going on holiday 2 days after.
Yeah.
For this transfer. Like, what do you mean I can't have the transfer? They were like, you will, like, you can't have it. And I was literally
meant losing the plot. Yeah.
What have I done? I've ruined it. Like, this is all my fault. I've messed it up. We can't do it. So then the consultant comes in and he says, right, start taking them 3 times a day and start putting 2 vaginally as well.
Okay.
So all
just
in
to
all,
really boost
just,
it.
Just to boost give it. That it. Just, you know, putting them in the vagina, putting them in the mouth, just putting them every angle at this point, in the ears, you know, just like up your nose. No, I'm joking. Literally. Oh, so I'm like, okay, I'll take loads. So I'm at home popping all these pills, putting my pessaries in. Putting all these pessaries in. I must have been a mental case at that point. Because imagine, it's all these hormones. Like,
I can't even imagine, honestly.
Like, I don't know. So then we went back in. I think it was 2 days after, maybe. Mm-hmm. 2 or 3 days after.
And it shot up.
My estrogen was perfect.
Perfect.
It was at like 11.5.
Love that.
And I was like, oh, I did it! Yay! Like, I did it. So yeah, they were like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
We can do your transfer. Mm-hmm. Come in on the 2nd. We'll pop your little embryo in and you can go on your holiday. And I was like, amazing.
Yeah.
So we went in on the 2nd of June. Or was it earlier than the 2nd of June? It might have been earlier. No, I think it was 2nd of June. We went in. They did the transfer. And from the day of the transfer, they started me on the blood thinning injections.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to take the blood thinning injections, carry on with the progesterone pessaries and the estrogen.
Wow.
Until I was 12 weeks pregnant.
Until you were 12 weeks. Okay.
Yeah. So that was like every single day. So obviously at that point, then they give you the 2-week wait. So when we went on holiday on the 4th, mm-hmm. I thought, right, I've packed all my things, like I've got my progesterone, I've got my estrogen. I'm like double checking it, making sure. I'm like, Lewis, can you check? Can you count? I've got enough injections. Mm-hmm. Can you count? Mm-hmm. So he's counting. I've got enough of these tablets, enough of this, enough of that. We're like, yeah, perfect. We get on holiday. By day 3, I realised I've forgot 3 injections, babe. And I'm like, does anything else want to go wrong?
So what did you do?
I'm like, I forgot 3 injections. What am I going to do? Lewis is drunk because he's been having a drink. Uh-huh. I'm having a mental breakdown in the hotel, like in the room, being like, I forgot 3 injections. I'm crying. He's jumping around. I don't know what he's doing. Like, God. Trying to be supportive, but just really not because
not
he's, yeah, because he's had a drink. And I'm like, what are we going to do? Oh my God. Oh my God. And we were on a cruise.
Okay.
So I'm like, we're in the middle of the sea. We're in the middle of the sea.
In the middle of the ocean.
And I forgot 3 injections. I'm on a boat in the middle of the sea. Like, where, like, what even happened? So on the boat, on the 4th floor, there was
don't tell me they had it in a
loose. They had the blood thinning injections on the cruise ship. Yeah. I was like,
the universe is working.
The universe is just doing the most here. Like, yeah. So we paid £6 an injection for them back home. On the cruise, they were £50 an injection.
Wow.
But at this point,
there is
no price like on these injections. Okay. I would like my left arm could go for these injections. Yeah. So yeah, we ended up getting the injections. So then all that was fine. So then we got back and again did a pregnancy test early because I can't help myself and I just don't listen.
Yeah.
So did a pregnancy test, and I remember on the 11th of June, was it the 11th? Yeah, it would have been the 11th of June. I did it, like, early.
Yeah.
Pregnant. And I was like, oh my God. And then every day I was just doing pregnancy tests. I think all in all, I brought about 60 clear blue tests.
Okay.
And probably around the same of the pink dye ones as well. Mm-hmm. I just could not stop buying pregnancy tests. It was ridiculous. I was just doing them every single day. With IVF, when you call them and let you know you're pregnant, you go back to the fertility clinic mm-hmm. to have your first 7-week scan, mm-hmm. so your early scan. So I went for the 7-week scan, and obviously we'd never seen a heartbeat before, so we were like, that day was so like, oh my God, is this baby going to have a heartbeat? Has it worked,
yeah.
like, or not? And we literally went into the scan room, and they did the scan, and straight away on the screen you could see, like, the baby's heartbeat. Little heartbeat, and, like, I just, that feeling was like, oh my God, like, as if that, like, as,
I bet, did it feel quite surreal?
So surreal, like, as if it's actually, like, there's a huge, like, in my tummy, I just couldn't even comprehend it. And then I don't think it was up until like my 12-week scan that I really like was like, I'm pregnant. Yeah. Like, I'm having a baby.
You did it.
Like, I've done it. Like, yeah. we've done it. Like, yeah. and I just, it was the most magical, like, everything that had gone wrong and everything that was hard and everything that had happened in the years prior, I can't even, it's just gone. Like,
none of it mattered.
Yeah, none of it. None
and
of it
so
mattered.
Since that day, everything's been amazing. Oh, God, it's just so... And, yeah. and there's been, like, touch every piece of wood. There's been no complications. It's all...
No, everything is literally... Like, she is perfect.
And you've had a good pregnancy.
Yeah.
No sickness?
I had, like, a lot of nausea in the beginning.
Okay.
And obviously the expected, like, backache and
yeah, of course.
Tiredness and all the symptoms that you expect being pregnant, but... Every single time I would have another symptom, like my boobs would hurt or my
You'd
back
be like,
would
yes.
ache, I would be ecstatic. I'd be running around the house, like, screaming. I remember the ones we had a Chinese, and this was the one time that I was really, really sick, and I was, like, projectile vomiting in the toilet. And Lewis has come upstairs, and he's like, are you okay? And I'm crying, and I'm like, I'm so happy! And he's like, why are you happy? You're throwing up Chinese. And I'm like, yeah, but
it means it's working.
It means that she's there. Like, and I'm literally sobbing. Wow. Like, oh, it was just the best. Like, just the best feeling.
That's amazing.
Mm.
And true credit to, like, your strength. Because I could just not imagine. I think it takes a real strong-ass woman to go through that process. And I think all the women that do go through it, you are all, like superwoman in my opinion, mm-hmm. actually superwomen. Like
yeah.
the hormones and how your body is so overloaded. But it's not like you do IVF and you take a vacation. You do IVF and you have to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to hold down life. You have to, and that on its own is tough, mm-hmm. and some people really struggle with. So on top of that, that whole process to me, you are literally superwoman, mm-hmm. and I'm so happy. I said to Matisse as we were walking up here, I'm so happy you've had such a nice pregnancy. Mm-hmm. I think no one deserves it more. Because I was thinking, like, you go through IVF and then you have such a tough pregnancy. That must be in itself,
yeah, you
like,
must be like,
quite
for God's
hard.
Sake.
Yeah.
Even this bit's hard too. Like, yeah. just
But
give
also,
me a break.
I read that, you know, when I see it comes up on my algorithm on Instagram, because when you're a mom, your whole Instagram
yeah,
algorithm
literally.
Just changes and it's just babies everywhere. But it was an IVF, a lady who'd done IVF, and she had said that, like, she was having a terrible pregnancy, but she said, she's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm so thankful that I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. I don't care what happens
yeah.
to me. And that also put my mindset into perspective and put me back into gear.
Yeah.
Because I had a shocking pregnancy and I was low and I complained and I was angry at life. And I was like, why is this happening? Like,
why is my pregnancy
I'm
not?
Like bedbound for like 8 months of my life. I can't, like, I'm like... And now I sit back and I just think, you were so lucky,
mm-hmm.
and the universe had your back so much that you had, like, Ziggy came into your life, like, you don't realise how little that is compared to, like, what it could have been.
Yeah.
And I check myself every day now when I think back to that time, and I used to think back and it would be a little bit negative.
Mm-hmm.
I can't lie, it would be very negative.
But then I think that the fact that you had that self-awareness, like, is so good.
Yeah, I think I'm super self...
Yeah.
I become more self-aware every day since being a mom.
Yeah.
And I become so much more self-aware when I talk to other women
mm-hmm.
about this thing. And I I shut my mouth so much more, like internal thoughts, as in like my whole pregnancy I was negative. Ziggy arrived and I had a really hard time mentally. And now I think back and I couldn't help it then because it was my hormones and I had postpartum depression and I was really low. But now when I sit here and I have a healthy, amazing baby, I just thank the universe like every single day of my life. Mm-hmm. And what a blessing that
he
arrived like that.
I think that about the IVF though, like for me, I think that in life it taught me so many lessons.
Yes.
And I think that in a really weird way, like I tried to look at it quite positive, it completely changed my mindset and it completely changed who I am as a person. Like it's built me to be who I am now.
I can only imagine.
And I feel as though I'm a lot more empathetic, like I'm a lot more understanding to people's situations, like even like people's triggers.
Mm-hmm.
You get it. I'm so more conscious about potentially triggering somebody mm-hmm. or upsetting somebody mm-hmm. with something that I might say, or even during my pregnancy, if I know that there's someone that is trying for a baby or that has been pregnant, or I won't speak about certain things as much because I'm like, I don't want to make you feel 100%. How certain people in life made me feel.
And I've stopped doing that as well.
Yeah.
Because I used to always say, oh, I was like, it wasn't planned, yeah, I felt pregnant, blah, 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 blah.
And then I
say that, or we're in a mom group, we're in a mom circle, and then the next mom says, yeah, like, I've been trying to get pregnant for, like, 4 years.
And then I
sit there and I'm like, oh, my God.
I shouldn't have said that, yeah.
I wish I never said that. Mm-hmm. Because although I don't mean it, and it's not intentional
it's not
me
malicious.
To be like, no, of course not. No. We're just talking about our journeys, mm-hmm. like, it's my truth. But I think how you articulate yourself, me personally now as a mom and as a woman, it's so much more different because we don't know who else in that circle is fighting their battles mm-hmm. and what triggers them, as you said. And mm-hmm. I think we have to be we don't have to be more careful. Like, I don't think as women now we should like tiptoe around people, but
definitely
the word you
not.
Use is empathy.
Yeah.
We should be so much more like empathetic.
Like, it's
and
fine to sit there and say, oh, this is my truth.
Yeah.
But like, that must be so hard for you.
Yes.
Or, oh my God, I can
validating
sympathize.
Other people's journeys.
But that's the perfect.
And
word
even
to use, like,
you
validating.
Mentioned Taylor earlier mm-hmm. on in the podcast, like watching Taylor's journey and watching your journey. I still don't think there's any other two people in the world I was so excited to see pregnant. When you posted, I literally was bawling. When Taylor Aww. Posted, I was bawling because I'm like, you did it! Like, you went through that journey and you did it.
You
and to
that.
Me, it's just like, it's just freaking amazing, and I'm so proud of you. Like, your
Thank
strength
you.
Is literally admirable. So I'm going to go through some of the people that have wrote in mm-hmm. because I think women in this position maybe wish they had access to more women. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
So I think this is a nice way for people to kind of talk with you. So someone wrote in, I know we've touched on it quickly, but would she recommend to go privately for IVF?
So for me, private was
crucial.
Yeah, crucial, just because I wanted control. I wanted full control over it. I wanted to know when I can do it, when I can't do it, that I'm in control of that. I don't think I can comment because I didn't go through the NHS.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoke to people that did go through the NHS and they said their experience was great.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it depends on you as a person. I think if you're happy to kind of wait a mm-hmm. little bit and
and your financial situation.
Your financial situation. Yeah. I think that that's probably
one of the main factors.
Yeah, I think if you financially can afford to go private, then just do it.
Yeah, I hear that.
But
I have one person in my life that went through the NHS and the wait was super long. But when she got there, it was perfect.
Yeah.
I think when you get there, you're taken care of. And mm-hmm. I think it's a very good process. But as you said before, I think it's the wait.
Yeah.
Like, the person in my life that did it, she had to wait a really,
really
long time. And you just get one go with it, don't you? I'm right in saying that?
Some people get more than... It depends on your circumstances.
Oh, okay, I'm not sure. Well, this particular person, she got, like, one shot. So it was quite a long time to wait to then have one go. I mean, thank God it worked and the baby's here and it's amazing. But I think probably, as you said, financial situation will have a lot to do it. Because, you know, you don't just have £30,000 to just throw something.
Yeah, to be like that.
Do you get me? So someone wrote in and said, Matisse, can we talk about the loneliness of trying to conceive when everyone around you is getting pregnant? The emotions are wild.
One of my close friends at the time, the loneliness there was difficult for with her being pregnant and then me not being pregnant. That was really, really hard. And then it felt like someone really close to me was pregnant, and then someone would come in the salon and be like, oh my God, I'm having a baby. And then the topic of conversation would be babies. And then you'd go somewhere else and people would be talking about that. And like, it just felt like everywhere you went, everywhere you looked, there was prams. Mm-hmm. Every time I went on Instagram, there was another pregnancy mm-hmm. announcement. Every time, just literally
everything around you was screaming.
Was screaming babies. And I feel like the loneliness of that can be really, really damaging.
And probably plays part to the depression you were feeling.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. And probably with the person in your life who got pregnant, it was probably difficult for like both of you in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's like, you feel probably a bit lonely and uncomfortable talking about it. She probably feels a bit like...
again, the same.
But unnaturally...
And how do you... You're going
navigate
through,
that.
Yeah, how yeah. you're going through the happiest moment of your life. I'm going through the worst moment of my life.
Yeah.
How do we
you expect any of you to be there for anyone?
Yeah.
I can totally understand that.
It was so hard. And then obviously I'm still trying to be like, oh my God, let me see a scan photo. I want to see a scan. And I'm buying her baby things. And going on a baby website when you're trying for a baby to buy baby things to put in a baby bag. Oh my, like, it was like...
You wanted the even
just
Yeah,
it. Even just... picking up, I remember I brought like loads of Nala's babies things, and then I brought like this beautiful like pram suit, and like in my head I was like, I'm gonna buy myself one of these pram suits because I really like it for when I have a baby. But then I was like, but what if I never have a baby? And then it's just always sat there, like, and it was just such a weird
I totally hear you navigate
that. And like, the loneliness is, you just need to make sure that you've got a really, really supportive partner, I think. And it's crucial that you have at least one good friend. Like, you've
that
got
you always
to have,
lean on.
That you can just go to. Like, I had my go-to. Like, Eden was my go-to. Like, the day after my operation, she was the person when I'm crying and that is rubbing my back, that is just sat there, not even saying anything to me, but just being there.
Nothing needs to be said. Yeah. It's the present.
She was present. And she's got two children.
Has she?
Yeah, like, so, and conceiving for her is so easy. So we're in two completely different worlds, but...
She was still there.
She was there, and she understood. Yeah, you need a good friend and a good partner.
What supplements did you take to help? So, like, I'm guessing nothing to do with, like, the injections or
but
the
in
things
terms of
that
like
the
vitamins.
Doctors give you, but maybe things people can buy, like... Everyone's got access to. Did you take supplements?
So one thing that's really good for PCOS is Infolic Alpha. So you take two sachets of that. It's like a powder.
Is it a pink packet?
Like a pinky purple, yeah.
I've seen it, yeah.
To be fair, I posted it on my story before. It is on my story highlights.
Yeah, we'll put all Matisse's socials everywhere. So you know exactly. No, honestly, well, yeah. So people can go
so
and...
So people can have a look. Yeah. It is on my story highlights. So I took that from... pretty much the beginning, the Infolic Alpha, and I do really feel like that helped regulate me. I also took the Spatrone.
How do you say it?
Spatrone. How do you say it?
I say Spartone. What do you say?
Spatrone. How do you?
There's no R in it. It's S P A T O N E.
Spatone. No, this has changed my whole world.
You could be right, though. I could be wrong. I thought it was Spartone.
Yeah, but you've said it on your stories before.
Yeah, definitely not that, though.
So you're definitely right, because someone would have corrected you.
Maybe. Is it Spatrone? I thought, what's Spatrone? Yeah, isn't it...
Right, iron liquid.
Basically, it's an iron supplement.
Yeah.
It's gold dust, though. No, it's not gold dust. It's really easy to get. It's like gold.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
Incredible. Like, every single blood
test. Did you find out of that from me, or was that...
From you.
Oh, my God, that makes me so happy.
From you, yeah. I saw that you were posting about it.
Are you still taking it?
Still taking it.
Me too.
Religiously, every single day. I would never stop.
I think, because some people messaged me, and they're like... I don't really get Spartone, and I'm like, just
Spartone,
start it.
That's completely blew my mind.
Spatrone, I was like, wait, what are you talking about? I say to people, okay, just trust me here. Just take it, and then stop taking it,
and
let that be your answer. I won't say anything. I won't talk too much. Just take it, then stop taking it, mm-hmm. and yeah,
and see what happens.
It's like imperative in my life, and it has been for like 6 years. So
the
Infolic Alpha Patrone.
Yeah. I'm saying iron because iron.
Spartone. Anything else?
Vitamin D, religiously. And prenatal vitamins.
Which ones do you take?
I take the Pregnant Care.
Do you?
Yeah. Why? Did you struggle?
Oh, I'm just not sure about them. but I've just heard really mixed views about Pregnant Care.
Okay.
They're the huge ones, aren't they?
They're like big.
Yeah, the big pink. Yeah, because like when I was pregnant, I was like, oh, what should I be taking? And my midwife was like me, and that's why I really liked her.
I remember that you weren't really taking anything.
I took vitamin D, Spartone, folic acid for a very small amount of time. Because then I'm awful though, because I'm really into like the other side of mm-hmm. things. And I started looking into folic acid, and then I was like, right, so I'm going to stop taking that. But that's just my personal choice. It's nothing to do with anything else, and I had a perfectly healthy baby. So
yeah.
So did vitamin D, Spartone, folic acid for a while, then stopped that, and that was it. But I would say I had a really good diet, but I didn't because I couldn't keep anything down. So I think my body just kind of took over for me.
Mm-hmm.
But with IVF, did you do anything else? Or just those four things?
In folic alpha, the iron. vitamin D, Pregnant Care. What else was I taking? At one point, I was taking so many tablets. So, like, I was taking, like, cod liver oil, but then you're not supposed to take cod liver oil because of the vitamin A.
Mm-hmm.
So then I stopped that.
So were you taking these supplements for IVF?
So I was taking these to just, in my head, if I took everything possible that was good for my body, mm-hmm. my body would just work.
Okay.
That's how my brain. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, if I do all this, mm-hmm. eat well, don't have fizzy drinks, don't drink alcohol, mm-hmm. take all these tablets, like my body will work. And I was also, have you seen that Real? R-H-E-A-L.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I work with them.
Oh, do you work with those? I actually was taking their Balance. Their Balance one.
Their stuff's actually good.
Yeah.
Like the ashwagandha in it.
Yeah,
it's very natural, organic.
Which I enjoyed.
I fuck with their stuff.
Yeah, I really enjoyed. So I was, I still do, to be honest, try and like,
yeah,
if not every day, we'll have.
Well, you are absolutely glowing. You look.
Thank you.
You look so healthy and beautiful.
Thank you.
Your little girl is like, okay, mom, we made it now. Let me just give you your radiance back. And I love it.
Thank you.
So this lady wrote in and she just says how you kind of already answered it, so maybe just retouching it, but how to check your fertility because they're going to start trying in 2025, which is after next, actually.
Yeah, year after next.
The answer is you have to go private, no? To a fertility clinic.
So to check your fertility, go private, yeah. You can.
Can you do it on the NHS?
I highly doubt it now.
Okay.
I highly doubt it
They've
now.
They've got so much pressure.
Mm-hmm. I feel like probably pre-COVID would have been a bit easier, but yeah. I think now you're struggling. Like there's so many girls, young girls that I know that are having issues with periods or mm-hmm. pain or different things like that that are going to the NHS and they're just turning around and putting them on the pill.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking. IVF was successful the first time and then I naturally conceived 4 months postpartum.
Oh my god, that's my dream.
Isn't that so?
That is my dream.
Right, before we close this podcast, because I know we're running over time a little bit. So we don't have to talk about this because I feel like there's also this pressure when women have a baby that it's like, okay, so you're gonna have another one. Because I had that. I had Ziggy, and then so many people were like, so are you gonna have another one? And I was like, girl, I can't. I've just pushed this boy out after the worst year of my life. Like, I'm not sure I can answer that question. But how do you feel?
Oh, because that's my dream.
So, are you and Lewis? Did you have that conversation of what the next looks like?
Definitely. We've had that conversation. We've obviously spoke about how many children we want multiple times. Like we've spoke about all of that. Yeah, we're definitely on the same page. And I want a big family. So
do
for
you?
Me, yeah, really big family.
How many do you want?
I want four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I want four.
But the thing is, if all your pregnancies are like this, then, like, I get it. Because low-key, like, if I had a really good pregnancy and recovery, and I could, like, I know financially there's other stuff to do with it, but, like, I get it.
Yeah, that's my dream, obviously.
So will you go IVF again, or will you just maybe go back to
resetting? We have spoke about this, to be honest. I think we've kind of said that after she comes, we're not going to be careful and we'll just see what happens. And then I think if maybe like 12 months time, nothing's happened, maybe we'll look into the fertility route again.
Do you have other embryos saved?
I've got one left.
One? Yeah. Okay, amazing.
One left in the freezer.
So you can use that.
And that's, that for me as well is a thing of, like, I'm not putting that in the bin. Like, I'm not just throwing
Absolutely
it away.
Not.
Like, I'm going to use precious. That at some point. That's so precious.
How long can you save them for in the
Oh my
freezer?
God, they can be in there for years and years and years.
Like 10 years?
10 years.
Okay, amazing.
Like 20 years.
And I think that in itself is a real positive from IVF.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's amazing.
The fact that I've got that embryo and that.
That must mentally make you feel better too after all that you've been through.
Yeah. I also, like, obviously women that are fine with getting pregnant as well, when we get to a certain age, our egg quality does decrease. So for me, it was something that I did think about in my head. Oh, shall I just go and get some of my eggs froze just whilst I'm younger and they're better quality, essentially. So it does make me feel really positive.
And, you know, when you have a baby, you're like in the first, quote me if I'm wrong, please. But I don't know, in the first like 6 months, maybe I want to say, your like chances of getting pregnant are like through the roof.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm going for it. Lewis, come in.
You guys are gonna be crazy. Yeah.
I literally was talking to his mum about it, and his mum was like, "You've got to pounce on him." He's come out, and I was like, "Don't you worry, I will."
I love that. Honestly, it's so nice to see you like smiling and just so happy.
Yeah,
like, I can really feel how important this is to you, and I think. You're so strong to go through that. I can't imagine I can because you've brought it to life, but just the stress and the hardship on all aspects of life, and you did it, and I'm so proud of you. And we're going to be, are you going to be sharing her online or no?
Probably. Yeah. I think so. I think for me that I've found my love for social media again.
Back. Yeah.
Through, like, I lost it completely.
Of course. To be honest, Matisse, when I was pregnant, and even in, like, the first 7 months of Ziggy's life, I was like...
Were you just over it?
I couldn't put one foot in front of the other, let alone pick up my phone. And now, like, since I've, like, regained my spark and I'm doing this, I'm like, oh, my cup is filled again.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got yourself back. You feel that too?
I think the fact that I'm, like, I feel so happy... Like, every single day I wake up and I'm so happy, just with life. Like, I'm so grateful, I'm so happy, like, I'm so blessed. Like, the one thing that I wanted, and, like, we're here. And, like, I only have to wake up and touch my belly and I'm...
Does she kick a lot?
Yeah, she's so active.
Is she?
She's so active. I love it. And, like, I'm just so happy. So I feel like that for me, I'm just back. I feel like Matisse is back.
She's back, bitches.
Yes, she's back.
The bed. She's back. And you, as I said, you look incredible. You walked towards me and I was like, wow. I was like, you look amazing.
Thank you.
So I think to end this podcast, all I want to first say is, we didn't touch on this and we could sit here and talk for hours. That's the problem. I was going to talk about your birth. How do you want to go? But we won't continue taking any more of anyone's time. But I do just want to say good luck.
Thank you.
You're going to smash it.
Yeah.
Oh, see, now I'm itching like... what kind of birth do you want? Like, but Carl's looking at me like, no, end it here. But first of all, yeah, good luck. You're going to be amazing. I'm going to talk to you about this off camera because I can't help myself but not talk about it. We can't wait to follow your journey. As I say, we'll put Matisse's socials everywhere so you can see. And if people maybe want to reach out to you, you're okay with that?
Yeah, definitely. I love that. Yeah, definitely.
If they're going on this journey and need someone to talk to, I think it would be really good.
Yeah.
So we'll put Matisse's socials everywhere. It was so nice for you to come and join us.
Oh, I feel honoured.
So
thank you.
I'm so excited. And as I say, this podcast will forever be bringing to light more things like this that people just...
Yeah, I love that you've done this.
Not scared to talk about, but like... Everything's just so...
There's like a stigma around
it,
isn't
there? Yeah, and it's just like, break it all and let's talk about it. And I'm sure you've helped so many women with your advice.
I hope so.
So yeah, basically don't Google anything.
Don't Google anything.
But find people online that you really love and follow their journey and it gets you through. That's probably your main piece of advice.
Yeah, and have a really supportive partner and at least one good friend.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And I'm so glad you had that as well.
Yeah.
I feel like I've like briefly met Lewis in passing in the salon, very briefly. Yeah, but what you post of him, it seems like he's really
He's a good boy.
And it's tough to go through that, and you guys did it. So bring on the baby girl. Thank you so much for watching. Please like, share, comment, subscribe, all you can do, and we'll see you next week. Ciao.